Oral Hershiser was a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers from 1983 to 2000. After the final game of the 1988 World Series against the Oakland A's, Bob Costas of NBC interviewed him in the locker room and asked Hershiser what he was doing between innings when the cameras had caught him in the dugout with his head back, eyes closed, almost meditating. He said, "I was singing to myself to relax and to keep my adrenaline down because every time I thought about being ahead, I got too excited to pitch." Well, the next night, he was on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and Johnny Carson also asked him about that. "Do you just hum or what?" Well, he said, "I sing." And the audience, of course, started clapping because he hadn't meant that he wanted to sing, but of course he said, and so he said, "I'm not going to sing." And then the audience, of course, clapped more because they wanted him to sing. And Johnny Carson then piled on, "Oh, yes, you are." And Oral just shook his head, panicking. He had never sung in front of anybody alone before. And Johnny pressed him, "This will be a first, just a couple of bars." And so Oral said, "Well, here's the one I remember singing the most." And suddenly, the whole room was silent. "As I sat on the bench," he said, "I'd sing, 'Praise God from whom all blessings flow.'" Join me. "Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." The question we should be asking ourselves is not whether we can sing, but whether we have a song to sing. Because when we love Jesus, our voices, no matter what we think of them, are the finest musical instruments in heaven. I have a pastor friend who seems to have the glow of the Holy Spirit with her all the time. Her faith is steady and sure, even when life throws its worst her way. And I have known her long enough to know that it sure has happened. Well, Susan loves worship and loves to sing. The thing is, she can't carry a tune in a bucket. She's an awful singer. And she's an inspiring singer because she knows that the song is more important than the singer. And so she sings out anyway. And the song for today is, "The Lord Brings Us Through the Tough Times." And in Psalm 66, we're given an image, a metaphor. It's from the smelting process used to tease precious metal out of rocky ore. Molten ore, like silver or pewter, is heated to a super high temperature to burn off the detritus and the gunk. And the impurities rise to the top and they form this icky film that has to be skimmed off in order to get to the pure metal. In Psalm 66, we see that instead of physical heat that's used for rocks, God used the conquering power of Babylon to test and refine God's people, the Israelites. And the lesson to take from this for us is that no matter how bad things might seem, God is still helping us to become the best we can be. The tests we face, especially the hardest ones, deepen our faith and dependence on God. God is good even when the times are bad. And we are told the response to God's faithfulness and providing for us and bringing us through is worship. But the worship of Psalm 66 is a bit different than what we are doing here, I think. Because of what God has already done for us, we are to do more than just give thanks. This Psalm 66 is an all-in, best of the best offering to God. This is falling down and crying out because God has brought us through and lifted us up and saved our sorry can't swear. You can fill in the blank. It is worship and testimony about God, who God is, and what God has done for his people. And we don't need to have our own high drama or life-saving moments to fall down in gratitude or to lift our hands in praise. Psalm 66 guy didn't, or if he did have those, he didn't mention it. No, he was singing about what had happened hundreds of years in the past. But here's the difference, I think, between the way we approach worship and the way Psalm 66 guy did. I think we hear Bible stories, and to us, they are far off stories about another people in another time and another place, not ours. They are interesting history and perhaps quaint and primitive views in their depiction of the world. But here's the thing. They're not that. They are our family stories. Some of you may have done research into your ancestry. I love hearing people talk about their discoveries. I've got royal blood. Or I found some shady characters. Maybe that explains Crazy Uncle Al. Or we're descended from pirates. Well, you know, how about this for an ancestry? You know, our family was kept in slavery for 215 years. And then this guy who was like a spy in the king's court but had an open channel to God somehow, he kept pressing the king while God kept sending all these tragedies until finally the king set him free. And still the king went after them. And they were running and running through the desert being chased. And when they came to a sea, they thought they'd gotten to the end of it and they were goners. But then God made some dry land appear before them and they made it through to the other side just in time to turn around to see their assailants flailing around in the waters which had closed behind them, again God. And then they lived for another 40 years as nomads, again with God providing everything they needed, even as they got all seduced by other gods and complained about their situations, and that's just the beginning of our family history. Because you know what? That God is doing a lot more than getting you a good parking place at the mall. He's calming your worried heart as you sit bedside in the hospital room. That God is giving you good listening ears in the job interview. That God is helping you to break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend because they are not the relationship he wants you in. That God is providing the surprise check in the mail for just the right amount that you need at just the right time. That God is reconnecting you with old friends out of the blue, not because you need them, but because they need you. God is good, even when the times are bad. John and Elaine Beekman were missionaries who worked among the Chol Indians of southern Mexico. They were a remote tribe, so remote that they had to ride mules and travel by dugout canoes just to reach them. They were there for 25 years with other missionaries to translate the New Testament, the Bible, into the language of the Chol people. Today, the Chol Church is thriving. More than 12,000 Christians make up the Chol Christian community, which is its own self-supporting place now. What's interesting is that when the missionaries got there, the Chol Indians didn't know how to sing. But with the coming of the gospel, however, the believers in the tribe became known as the singers. They love to sing now, the Beekmans commented, because they have something to sing about. The question this morning is not whether you can sing, but whether you have a song to sing. And we do. We most certainly do. Amen.